by saying 172. 172.
All teachers more on thy blessed ways, thou holy Lamb of God, and fix and grow us in thy grace, as those redeemed by
Shall we pray? Our God and our Father, we commit this meeting into thy hands. We commit the brothers through whom thou wilt speak to each one of us this afternoon. We commit our hearts, our minds, our ears to thee, that they would be open to receive that which thou desirest to instruct us with, to encourage us with, to comfort us with, to exhort us with. Father, thank thee for thy desire to equip us, to represent thee well and faithfully as we wait for thy soon return. We thank thee, Father, for thy grace to us, thy unsearchable paths in love and grace to each one of us. We thank thee for being here in peace, in comfort, in freedom. We think of our brothers and sisters who have not this freedom, and may we treasure this privilege all the more and remember them in our prayers. We thank thee, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I would like this afternoon to encourage each one here today who has come to Christ to take a stand for him, even though it may be having to stand alone. It's worth it, and if it has God's approval, that's all that really counts. I recall I saw a poster one time at Cecil Rusing's bookstore some years back, and it showed a multitude of people, and they were all outlined in black, and they were all moving in one direction. However, if you look carefully at the poster, there was one outline in red, and that was a person that was going in the opposite direction. Have you ever felt like that? Perhaps at school or at work, that the tide is against you. I'd like to turn this afternoon to an individual found in John's Gospel, chapter 12, who I believe took a stand for the Lord Jesus because he was precious to her heart. And it was a bold stand. And when I say a stand, the fact is that she was at the feet of Jesus. Her name is Mary. And I believe that most, if not every reference to Mary of Bethany, we find her at the feet of Jesus. That's a good place to be. Somebody, I believe it was J.N.D., he wrote, "Lo at thy feet, Lord Jesus, this is the place for me. Here have I learned deep lessons, truths that have set me free. Free from myself, Lord Jesus, free from the ways of men, chains of thought that once bound me never shall bind me again. Not but thyself, Lord Jesus, conquered this wayward will, but for thy love constraining, I had been wayward still." I believe the love of Christ had conquered Mary's will and constrained her to do that which, from all outward appearances, would be a very, shall I say, hazardous move on her part. Well, let's read about it. John chapter 12 and verse 1. "Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany." Where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Here we find a house in Bethany. It was a place where the Lord Jesus knew that he would be welcome. Would the Lord Jesus be welcome at your house? Would he know that coming to your house, he would receive a warm welcome and hospitality? That's how it was at Bethany. And if we back up into chapter 11, we find that the Lord Jesus had performed a wonderful miracle on one of those residents at that household. His name was Lazarus. Lazarus had died. And Martha, she said to Jesus, "If you'd been here, my brother would not have died." But you know, the Lord Jesus had a purpose in allowing that grief in that household, in allowing Lazarus to die, because he was going to display the fact that even more wonderful than healing a diseased body is to raise a dead body from the grave. And the Son of God was glorified through that miracle. You know, sometimes we think that the Lord doesn't know what he's doing because we've got problems. We've got trials and difficulties and griefs. But the fact is that I do believe whatever is taking place in your life as a believer, God has your best interest at heart. And he's going to make it work together for good. Not only for your good, but for his own glory and praise. And that's how it was here. And there were those that witnessed what had taken place at Bethany. And it tells us here in verse 45 of chapter 11, "Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him." And so we find that there were those that believed on him. But as we read on in the chapter, in verse 47, "Then gathered the chief priests, the Pharisees, a council, and said, 'What do we? This man doeth many miracles.'" And as we read on, we see that their counsel is, in verse 53, "Then from that day forth they took counsel together for to put him to death." So we find that an environment had developed that was hostile to the Son of God. And you know, we live in a hostile world today. And the world's attitude toward the Son of God has not changed since John chapter 11. It hasn't changed since the Lord Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross of Calvary. This world is going on a course in opposition to God and to his Son, Jesus. But the wonderful thing is, God has not abandoned the human race, but we find that he offers a full and free pardon to those who are willing to bow at the feet of Jesus and acknowledge him as Lord, who put their faith and confidence in him. And what a wonderful God we have who reaches out to the vilest. He's full of compassion. He's plenteous in mercy. He's ready to forgive, ready to pardon. He's gracious. And you know, I believe Mary saw this in Jesus, and he had captivated her heart. And as we read here in chapter 12, when Jesus came to the house, he was welcome, no matter what the attitude of the religious leaders were. Jesus was her Lord, her Savior. Jesus was on her heart. It was himself who captivated Mary. And so we see as we read on in this portion that in verse 3, Mary, it says, took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. This was an act of devotion on the part of Mary that was exemplary. And as we read on, we find that this pound of ointment, spikenard, that was very costly, was perhaps worth at least 300 pence, and a pence is one day's wages in those days, one day's wages. So 300 pence, if you translate it to today's currency, 300 days' wages, that's a lot of money. And I suppose that Mary had this ointment for some time. I don't know how long she was thinking about this that she wanted to do. But it did come to fruition, and that which was very costly, Mary was willing to expend it on Jesus. It was a sacrifice for her. Did she regret what she had done? She got right down to the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. You know, it speaks about the hair being the glory of the woman. But I do believe that Mary wanted to give Jesus all the glory and all the praise. She was in the presence of the Lord of glory. And you know, when we get to glory, we understand we're going to have crowns, but we're going to be casting our crowns at the feet of Jesus, that he might be exalted, that his name alone would be magnified, as we have here on this poster. In all things, he might have the preeminence. Well, you can imagine if Mary wiped his feet with her hair. What did her hair smell like? This was a very fragrant spikenard. And I'm sure that as Mary went forth, the fragrance of this spikenard would be dispersed abroad. Well, it tells us here that the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. And it was a very wonderful atmosphere to be in this house with the odor of the ointment. Well, you know what this is? I believe worship. And worship is what God desires. And I'm not sure, just, and I speak to myself, how much worship there is in my heart for the Lord Jesus. But this is what he values. You know, it's one thing to get something from the Lord. And it's very wonderful that when we receive something from him, that our hearts are filled with thanksgiving and praise. And there were those that fell at the feet of Jesus in order to get something. I think of Jairus. He fell at the feet of Jesus on behalf of his daughter that was sick, 12-year-old daughter. There was the Syrophoenician woman, came to Jesus and fell at his feet on behalf of her daughter. They were looking to get something from the Lord Jesus, and they weren't disappointed. And I trust that they did give thanks to him for what he did for them. But I believe there's something even more wonderful than to get something from the Lord Jesus, and that is to enjoy him for who he is. That's worship. You see, we praise the Lord for what he has done for us, but we worship him for who he is. His beauty, his glory. We sang this morning about Oh, the peace forever flowing from God's thoughts of his own Son. Oh, the peace of simply knowing that on the cross, the work was done. But as we sing along in that hymn, Jesus, Savior, we adore thee, Christ of God, ascended high. We're singing about what he's done for us, but now we're worshiping him for who he is. We adore him. Adoration. Well, we find that Mary here, I believe, was filled with adoration for her Lord. And she displayed this in a remarkable way. Now, in verse 4, then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Judas Iscariot takes exception to what Jesus has done, or I should say what Mary has done. He claims that he has a care for the poor. Is that true? He had no care for the poor any more than he had a respect for the Lord. We find that he was a thief. And he took that which was put into the bag. I suppose he thought about that 300 pence. He thought, you know, I could have got something out of that. He had no love, no regard, no worship in his heart for the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see a contrast here between Mary and Judas Iscariot. But the sad thing is, if you turn over to another gospel, you find out that not only was Judas having a problem with what Mary did, but it tells us the other disciples as well were filled with indignation. They too were critical of Mary's sacrifice. So now what are we going to say? Here's Mary, here's Judas, and the other disciples. Mary's one individual. We got the disciples, 12 disciples. Who is right? Jesus will settle the score. Verse 7, then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this? For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there. They came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. You know what? Mary had Jesus on her side. And she was only one. But you know, it's been said that one plus the Lord Jesus, or one plus God, makes a majority. And I believe the Lord Jesus exonerated Mary for what she had done. And we read in another gospel that what Mary had done was going to be proclaimed throughout the whole world in the gospel and would be a memorial for time and for eternity. And Mary was willing to stand alone. You know, sometimes even other Christians we would expect to be, shall I say, promoting that which is of God. But it doesn't always work that way. The important thing is to look to the Lord and do what He tells you to do and seek His perspective on what is before you. And let me just read this here. We had this the other night over in Fredericton at the meeting there. 1 Corinthians, it's just two words that really stood out to me. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 24. 1 Corinthians 7:24. Now, brethren, let every man wherein he is called, now this is the calling of God, therein abide, but notice two words, with God. With God. That's critical. If you can do what you are doing with God, you're on the right track. And you won't regret what you are doing. You have God's approval. Don't look around to the world for its approval. You'll be misdirected. It's possible that even professing Christians might be a source of misdirection. But look to God. And that's what Mary did. And she did the right thing. And she will not regret it. You know, Mary had spiritual discernment. She knew that Jesus was going to the cross. I think she had more discernment than the disciples as to what was to take place. She was a woman. But there was devotion to Christ, a love in her soul for Christ. And it came out in what she did. And she knew this was her opportunity because the storm clouds were gathering over her Savior. And this was her opportunity to show her devotion to Christ. And she took advantage of it. Dear ones, this afternoon, time is short. The Lord Jesus is coming. And you and I, we have an opportunity to make a sacrifice for the Lord Jesus, the one who has loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. But the opportunity is here today. It could be gone tomorrow. The Lord is coming. So may we, and I speak to myself as well, keep our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and take advantage of the opportunity to live for Him, even if from outward appearances it seems as though you're a loser. In the eyes of the world, you'll appear to be a loser. But really, you're a winner because you're doing what the Lord Jesus would have you to do. And it'll make you happy. The Lord Jesus could say, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. I'm sure when we get to glory, and we're going to enter in more fully to what He's done for us, we're going to see the nail prints in His hands. We'll see that spear mark, that wound in His side. We're going to think about what Jesus has done for you and for me. And you know, anything that we do for Him is going to appear minuscule in view of His sacrifice on our behalf. So may we just take heart and trust the Lord and go forward and live for him. Whether we eat, drink, whatever we do, may we do it all to the glory of God. May the Lord bless his word.